Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. Our goal is that by listening to our podcast, you will be inspired to level up. With the help of some amazing guests, we'll be inspired by some inspirational success stories and find out how you can level up your business, your life, and your relationship with yourself. Because I know that by leveling up and balancing these three aspects of your life, you can make a difference and impact the lives around you. Level Up Podcast will be a series of interviews featuring successful professionals who are making a mark and a difference in their lives and others. They will share their incredible stories of how they did it, so you can be inspired and learn from the very best.
Oh my God, I cannot believe the day is here and I am super excited. Today is the first time I'm doing an episode where I have my guest in person. So I wanted to start by saying thank you so much, Lisa, for taking the time to be with me today and to share a little bit about you with our audience. I know a lot about you, but they don't. So I want you to today give us an opportunity to get to know who you are, get to know where you're coming from and where you're going. So today it's going to be all about Lisa Diaz. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Berta. Thank you, Berta, for having me. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be here with my sister.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for saying that. So today we're going to dive in and ask some questions that I probably know the answer, but I know most of our audience don't. So let's start out by saying, who's Lisa Diaz? Where is she coming from? Where were you born? Tell me a little bit about you so they can know who Lisa is.
Well, Lisa Diaz is, there's eight of us.
Okay.
And I'm the second to the youngest. I was born in Salinas, California. Small agricultural town in Northern California. Vengo de papás campesinos. My dad was part of La Unión de César Chávez.
Wow.
UFW. And mi mamá también trabajó en el empaque. I tend to speak English and Spanish, so
which
please forgive
fine.
Me.
Which is fine. We'll get both over there.
We
so
call
don't
this
worry.
Spanglish, right? For
Rice.
Those of us that were born here.
Los but, pochos.
Correcto. Sí, no somos ni de aquí ni de allá.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing that. So you were born in Salinas, and now again, we're in the LA area. How did that transition came? When did you move out here?
Definitely a culture shock from Northern California to Southern. I was at UC Davis, and we came in the summer. My mom had really bad knee problems because, of course, it's really cold in Salinas.
Okay.
And so we came to visit her sister. Long story short, she said, Mija, me siento muy bien. Te moverías para el sur de California. And at that time, I was going to UC Davis, and I said, well, si se siente bien, mamá, let's go for it.
Wow.
So un primo told us, you know what, let's go look at properties. And my mom's all, let's go. We don't have nothing to lose.
Wow.
And this was June of 1996.
Okay.
We went around his neighborhood, saw a house for sale by owner, Mr. and Mrs. Bickle, I'll never forget, financed the property to my mom and I. She put a $20,000 deposit, and that was it.
Looking back, so again, we're talking about, 28 years ago.
Yes.
How business was done a little different than nowadays, right?
Absolutely.
But again, it's so interesting. You mentioned that she bought a house. So even do you guys own a home back in Salinas?
Yes. Okay. So my dad died when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
My mom, very hardworking, and she was able to pay off the home that she had in Salinas.
Wow.
And so she owned that home free and clear. And so she sold it to one of my brothers.
How funny.
But what a, you know, taking a leap of faith. She has always taught us to take that next step without fearing. You know, putting God first in everything that we do and just taking that leap of faith. I did start driving when I was 12 years old, and that's because of my mom. En el nombre sea de Dios y vámonos.
Oh, my God. That is so crazy. Just thinking about it, like a day or two, I posted something of Sophia driving, which is 15, right? I'm like so nervous, but at 12, OMG, look at you.
I would not let my 12-year-old drive, you know? It's like, oh, my goodness. But
it's so funny how sometimes we go through stuff, and it's like, oh, my God, I would never let my kids do this, right?
Yes.
But it's so interesting. So you had to pretty much grow up at 12 and take over and help your mom.
That is
so
correct.
Moving to Southern California, again, buying your first home out here, the site to move, what was that like?
Definitely, talk about a leap of faith, right? Coming to a whole new culture, it made it really easy because when we went to the bank, I already had a job. The lady that did the notary paperwork was a branch manager, and she actually offered me a job right there and then. So
you moved out here with a job already lined up.
Correct.
That is so interesting.
Yes.
So you moved, you started going to school? Did you continue with the school?
I continued going to school here. So instead of going to UCR, I said, you know what, let me just finish my undergrad at RCC. So okay. I finished there and I did a whole career change. I was in the banking industry. I moved up the ladder very quickly and I decided to stay in finance.
That's what I was going to go next. So do you think that part of getting at that age, that young, having to get into and help your mom with that buying of the house process and the whole experience, would you think that had something to do with you getting into this industry?
As I reflect on that, absolutely. You know, it opened another possibility I never thought. I went to school to become a teacher. I wanted to go back to Salinas and teach.
I thought you mentioned law. What happened to that?
So I did pre-law. I did some mock trials at Santa Clara Law University. Okay. However, I did an internship. And so things changed a little bit and I decided to teach.
So you wanted to be a teacher?
Yes.
That is beautiful. Yes. You could have been an amazing teacher.
We do.
You could have been an amazing teacher.
We teach our clients.
But I'm saying with little kids because you have such a good personality, very patient, very thorough when it comes to, you know, showing our clients and all that. So you could have been an amazing teacher. But we are teachers, definitely.
Yes,
in our
educators.
Business, I feel like we definitely have such a big role in terms of, you know, educating our community and just showing them the way of becoming homeowners and through the process, obviously, of our business. I think it shows.
Yes.
And you definitely have so much that I admire and so much that I see that you do for our community. Thank you for that. Now, moving into the career, as you said, you went into the banking. What else do you do?
In the banking world? Mm-hmm. Well, I became a manager. You know, of course, I started off as a teller. I went to, I was a personal banker 6 months later. Then I moved up to the managerial world.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
In the corporate world.
What is the one thing you remember that you learned that made you say, you know what, this is what I want to be for a long time? Is there anybody in a specific that you run into your careers, mentors, anyone that, you know?
In the finance world?
In the finance.
I love helping people,
okay.
And I had a huge community of Hispanic clients, and I saw that there was a lot of need in our Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I was the source, the voice for our community in the banking world, and it gave me so much pleasure knowing that we were making a difference in people's lives with their biggest assets, you know, which is their finance, whether it came to opening a new account or helping a new business owner with a business account and talking to them about credit. You know, in this country, credit is everything.
Right.
And educating them on how important it was to build their credit. And then, you know, of course, home ownership.
That is awesome. You mentioned something that is really close to my heart, which is our Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. I think we both share that in terms of wanting that community to grow and have more presence in terms of business. I every time I speak to someone who's a business owner, just my hair lights up. I'm like, great, you know, you are making a difference. You're not only showing the way for your kids, for your family, but you're also setting up an example for so many others that a lot of times they come in, as today we're talking about, we come in, we go to school, we do all this stuff, and then we get too comfortable sometimes, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
And again, when they go out and open that business, you know, not only their kids get to see it, but again,
their grandkids,
the community, you know, they see, wow, it's a Hispanic, you know, owner.
Yes.
Let's support each other. Let's go, you know, and eat at that restaurant, or, you know, let's go in and do something with that business so we can continue to show our support and encourage others to do the same.
Absolutely.
So definitely that's something also that you and I share. Tell me a little bit about family, work. How do you balance those things? Because as a powerful woman that you are, I know, and we have talked about this in the past, but I wanted to share with our audience, how do you balance it? What do you do?
I really think there's no such balance.
Great.
We do.
Thank you, because that's exactly how I feel.
You know, como mujeres, como socias que tenemos nuestro propio negocio, you know, we're wives, we're daughters. I really don't think, before I used to want to know how these women did it when I was younger and, you know, how do you have balance in your life? And as I've matured, I feel like
we don't get old, we get matured. I love that
right?
word.
As we mature, we learn to prioritize. We need to, we learn to know what is first in our life. And as for me, and I put God, my family, my business. And I think when we learn how to prioritize, everything else falls into place. And just know that for those women that are moms and wives and business owners or work for an 8-to-5 job, just know that you're doing the best that you can with the resources that you have. And I think us women, we need to learn how to use our resources more often, you know, learning to leverage.
Yes.
And asking for help, because most of the times we want to do it all. We don't want to miss a milestone in our kids' lives. But we're very privileged to work in the field that we work, because we have been able to
have flexibility
at all those different milestones, awards, and games. And I'm so blessed and so thankful to God that we have been able to be present in our kids' lives.
That is a beautiful answer. And you know what? Something that I remember answering one time when somebody asked me that is learning how to be in the moment.
Yes.
Because, again, we can be present sometimes, but we might be thinking of work if you're at the house. Or you could be at the office trying to get work done, and you're thinking of the house. And, again, you're trying to do, like you said, too much at the same time. So I think being present, practicing that. For me, it's been obviously a challenge, because I'm always, and you have said it, multitasking, doing all three things sometimes at once. But being in the moment and just enjoying whatever you are, like whether you're at work, whether you're at home, try to enjoy that time, you know, and embrace it. And do the best you can. Now, how do you, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger Lisa about life, about career? What would you tell your younger self?
To do what makes her happy.
Woohoo! I love that answer.
To do what makes her happy. You know, sometimes I would say the majority of my life, I was a people pleaser. You know, wanting to please others before putting myself first. And so, and again, you know, coming from a background where you're wanting to contribute and serve, but definitely do what makes you happy.
So that's what you tell your younger self. Mm-hmm. Just do what you think it's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. Now, as you have your kids and they're getting older, what is the advice you give them?
Take risks. Take risk. If I could, you know, I mean, travel. And I have a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old, and I tell them, you know, stay focused in school. And once you guys are done with school, go travel the world. You know, they're both dating, which like, oh my goodness, it's a whole different season of my life
okay.
to see that. But I tell them, you know, focus on you, focus on your career. One of them, my daughter, she's like, Mom, I don't know what I want to do. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay to not know what you want to do. However, you know, take your general ed. And so the advice I give my kids now is to focus, get your schooling out of the way, and go travel the world.
For me, it's travel, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think, and you and I know how much I enjoy traveling.
Yes.
So for me, traveling is like a huge on my list. Because I feel like when you get to other places, visit other countries, learn other cultures, you open up yourself to a whole new world that you probably will never know if you've never left the place that you're in.
And I have to thank Bertha for that.
Why?
Honestly, I really, really, I mean, we've traveled together. Our families have traveled to Costa Rica, to La Paz, to...
Yeah, we've taken many trips and more to come.
Yes. And I never, honestly, my mom, ahorren. No gasten su dinero, ahorren. You know, la meta es pagar todo y quedarse sin deudas. And so I thank you so much for Bertha. Those memories have been priceless. My kids talk about that all the time.
And that's what I was going to go there. Because at the end of the day, we look back and the only thing we have
is the memories.
Memories we get to create with our kids, with our friends, with our loved ones. And those money can buy, you know, like at the end of the day, you might have a lot of money, but if we're not able to enjoy it and create those beautiful memories with your kids, you know, you're going to regret. Talking about regrets, what is the one regret you have? Come on, share with us.
Hi, there's quite a few.
Okay,
well, if I want to be honest and transparent, again, you know, not traveling, honestly. Okay. Traveling as before getting married.
Having more fun.
Yes.
That's good.
You know.
Well, the funny thing, you know, that's what I tell my kids. Travel the world. Yes. Get to know the world before you settle in. And it's, again, it's interesting that you just said that. But any other regrets other than traveling? Which is still, you can make it up. Look.
Right,
we have another
right.
49 years, 50 years of traveling.
So absolutely.
We're going to have so much more time to just enjoy life. And with the maturity that you have nowadays, I guarantee you're going to enjoy it in a different way. In a different way.
Absolutely.
But any other regrets career-wise?
No, I love
business,
what I do.
Anything?
I've always said, invest. I think, honestly,
okay,
that's another one that I as people back in, when the market crashed, I was seeing people buy investments, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I had savings, but I didn't want to touch it because of security. Had I known what I know now,
there you go.
I would
have
invested.
So with somebody listening to us, and somebody either new in the business of real estate, as a loan officer, or even any type of business, investment, how important that is. Share with us.
So I thank God. And I think Bertha, we were having breakfast with another business partner and he had a listing and he shared over breakfast, hey girls, I have this listing. It's a duplex. It's actually two homes in a lot. Mm-hmm. And Bertha's all, if you don't get it, I'm going to get it. And I'm like, okay. So we came back to the office, submitted the offer and opened escrow the next day. And that has been such a blessing to own those two little homes, and then, you know, we've done a couple of other investments.
Right.
But honestly, if I could go back 10,
that would be something you would
15,
do.
20 years, I would have kept investing.
Yes.
So now my son, he's seen the potential there is, and he says, Mom, how soon can I buy my next,
my
first
that's
investment?
Amazing.
So he's definitely excited to do that as soon as he has that money saved.
There you go. He needs to save.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, too. I feel like in our community, sometimes we wait for the perfect time. And there was a coach, and you and I know who it is, who asked us one time, he goes, when was the last time that everything was perfect?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we're waiting for the perfect time, for the perfect opportunity, for the perfect everything to make a decision of do something. But at this point in my life, I feel like you need to take, like you said earlier, risk.
Yes.
You must
run with it.
You must take the leap of faith. You might... Again, when it feels a little uncomfortable, that means you're probably going in the right directions. But again, our fears sometimes interfere with our decisions.
Yes.
So I will say, if it feels good, but you're nervous about, move with it. Because once you overcome and you make that decision and you go through the process, I always say that people will regret not doing it. But if they do it, at least they'll say, I tried and it didn't work out. If for some reason it doesn't end up the way you wanted it. So thank you for sharing that. Very, very good shares. I think some of our audience might be thinking of something like that. And I think this will be great for them to realize that at the end, it is better to take those chances, better to take those opportunities and give them a try before saying, oh, no, I can't do it. You know, it's hard. It's going to be difficult. Because nothing that is worth living, they said, it comes easy.
Right. It takes work.
So we need to really remember that if it feels a little uncomfortable, maybe it is the right path that you should continue on.
Yeah.
What do they always say? The success is always on the other side of our comfort zone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So our goals sometimes seem to be a little big and we get scared with them. You know what? If they're not big enough, if you don't get scared by them, they're not big enough.
Or sometimes it's complacency. You know, you feel like, oh, I have a home. I'm comfortable. I'm making good money. But you need to look beyond that. Yes. You know, your generational wealth, having that passive income. It's helped us so much go to these events where you see people that have $25,000 yes. a month in passive income. So what is passive income? Passive
there we go. Income. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Is someone that invests in a property and they're just collecting their monthly rents.
Como decían so, en México, ¿cuándo vas a vivir de tus rentas?
Exactamente.
That is amazing.
Exactamente. Es la mejor inversión que pueden hacer. It's absolutely. The best investment that you could
I
make.
I just read a posting that one of my girls did about the return of your investment, the percentage of, it has real estate, I think it's like 80-some percent, and then stocks, and then, you know, Bitcoin, all that other stuff. And it's mm-hmm. huge, the difference of how much your investment can grow in real yeah. estate.
Your return of investment.
Yeah, so just think
ROI.
About it. Yes, ROI, return mm-hmm. of investment. Mm-hmm. So for those of you listening to us and like wondering, okay, what should I do next? What would you tell someone who might have a little bit of savings and might be in the position where maybe do their first investment? What would you tell them?
Give us a call. Let's put a plan of action. You might not be ready today, but at least we could tell you, okay, this is what you need to do. And you might be ready in 6 months, a year, and you might be ready today to buy your next investment. So yes. give us a call. It's a free consultation. It's more than anything, education. Education that you could educate other people that you love. And give us a call. We'll be more than happy to sit down with you and put
create
a plan of action
create a business
for you.
Plan. I always say business mm-hmm. plan because a lot of times we want to go somewhere, we don't know where to start. So mm-hmm. I think that would be great. So thank you for sharing that. Again, absolutely. She's a loan officer like me. She's in the trenches. She's doing what we're talking about. So definitely I think one of the things that we have in common is we do want to impact our community. Absolutely. What do you think would be something that you want to be remembered by? You know, like let's say 50 years from now, Lisa is gone. How do you want people to remember Lisa?
The legacy that I would love to leave is, okay. you know, that I always came from love and contribution, you know, definitely. How can I help?
How can you impact more
how
people,
can
more
I
lives?
Impact more lives and give hope to others, you know, and again, my faith, you know, I'm a huge believer and everything that I do is, you know, Father, if it's your will, may your will be done. Putting that faith in God and even with the investment, you know, as I submitted that offer, I said, Father, you know our family, you know our present, our future, and if it's your will, open the doors. And if it's not, close those doors. Same thing with our tenants. You know, I pray every time we get a tenant and there's so many people that, right, I'm telling you, it's definitely a renter's market. I pray for the perfect, you know, not the perfect tenant because nothing is perfect in life.
Nothing.
But the tenant that needs my help and that right. I know that I need theirs as well, you know. And so I've been very blessed during COVID. None of them paid late. They have always paid on time.
And that goes to those people that a lot of times have that, misinformation or misconception that, oh, my God, managing a property is such a big
it's
deal.
Not.
It isn't,
it's
right?
Not.
I don't think it is. And, again, yeah. maybe because I'm in it for a long time, I'm like, obviously, like you said, there's not a perfect tenant. Yeah. There's not a perfect, we're not even perfect.
And are you going to have issues with properties? Absolutely.
Exactly.
You're going to have plumbing issues, a window broke or what have you. But that's nothing hard.
It's part of the business.
If you can't do it, yes. If you can't do it, get yourself a handyman.
Yes.
You know, it's items like that is, you don't have to worry about that. That's just.
And then another
easy.
Thing I always said, if you really are that busy, if you really have that lifestyle that you can spare time to do that, look for a property management.
Absolutely.
Let someone else handle it for
yes.
you. But do
yes.
not let that stop you from achieving your goals of owning
yes.
property, investing, and getting your, you know, portfolio of investments, you know,
yeah.
going. So don't be afraid. Just, like you said, take a leap of faith in and let's go. You'll see on the other end that it was all worth it as time goes on. You'll look back and the only regret you're going to have is not investing
yes,
more, not
absolutely.
Buying sooner, not getting that, you know, process started earlier.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of our people are going to be very pleased to hear your story.
Thank you,
thank you for
thank
sharing.
You.
I knew that was going to be something we needed to talk about today.
Thank
now,
you.
Let me ask you, when you started in the business, of real estate. Let's just talk about loans right now. What was the biggest challenge you faced when you started? Because I know you came from the banking and then went into direct lending, right?
Correct.
What was the biggest challenge you faced? Or what was the one thing you remember, like, if I would have known this earlier, I would have done this a little differently?
Well, I was in the corporate world, and in 2012, I decided to go into the direct lending world, and it was the biggest blessing, because most of the time, when you come from the corporate world, you don't want to leave a brand name, because you feel like, okay, people don't even know, and Bertha used to tell me, you could work with Pancho Perez Mortgage, and people work with you, not because you're working with Pancho Perez, you know? And it is so true. It is so true. Leaving the corporate world was the best decision ever. And more so because we didn't have all the overlays. So it was just, and believe me, the corporate world, I'm very thankful because it taught me a lot of different, you know, a lot of different things.
Right.
You know, of course, you know, doing things the proper way and being compliant. However, when I came on this side, I'm like, pinch me, can we really do this? It's like, yeah, it's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
Right,
you know, we're following guidelines. Yes. We're not doing anything we're not supposed to do.
We're not doing anything illegal.
And it the freedom, the time freedom was the biggest thing, to be a business owner rather than an employee.
Let's talk about that for 1 minute, because I feel like, again, in our business, people take it as, I'm going to become a realtor, I'm going to become a loan officer, and they still have the mentality of an employee. How do we change that? What would you tell someone who's getting in the business and wants to, again, be in the business of, you know, either realtor or loan officer, but they still have that idea that as an employee rather than as a business owner?
Well, you know, we have to run our business. My kids will tell you, I wake up, I get ready. Whether I'm working out of my home office or working at the office, you have to have that discipline. You have to have that business owner mindset. Because if you're coming into this industry because you think, oh, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want, you're not going to be producing. You're not going to be producing the income that you're going to want to see produced. Always remember, actions equals results. So you have to do income producing activities to see those results. So you have to, you know, open your office at a certain time. For me, sometimes it's hard closing my office, you know, but I've learned as the time has, you know, to set boundaries.
One of the things I see a lot of times in our business, that people come in, like you were saying, and they see that, you know, the results of others, right? They have the nice car, they have the nice house, they have, and they think, oh, it's going to be easy. I'm just going to go in, hang my license, and yes, business is going to come.
No.
And the reality is, no, obviously you do need to work it as a business, you know, a business. Yes. What do you need to do? You need to go in,
make
look
phone
for clients.
Calls.
You have to go in and, you know, provide the service or product that you're going to provide. And you also need to get the help of others. Like, you do need to treat it like a business. One of the things one of my mentors used to say is, the benefit of being a self-employed is you don't have a boss. You don't have nobody to tell you what to do. The disadvantage of being self-employed is that you have no one to tell you what to do.
Yes. And then also for those realtors that are listening and loan officers, it's so important to keep developing your skills.
Yes.
Keep developing yourself. Doctors have a PhD. Mm-hmm. So they go and they have years of education to become a doctor, an attorney, you know, a teacher. So for those real estate agents and lenders that think that they could just go and take a test and pass it and they're done, no. We have coaches. We're continually going to classes. I just signed up last week to do a class, and you're always learning.
Yes.
You're always learning. Don't ever think that you know.
You know it all.
Yeah, because that's, no, you're always learning.
Be open to continue to be learning, and obviously know
and growing.
And know that, again, growth is going to come as the more you learn, the better you become, the more successful you are.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously implementing what you learn.
Yes. Oh, by far the most important, because you could take a class and if you don't implement anything, that didn't do you any good. So I always say implement 1 to 3 things that you learned, and the next class, one to three things, and you're going to see the growth. But continually, always be learning.
You talked about that right now, and I want to go a little deeper with how important it is for you, and you already said it right now, but how important it has been in your career being able to have coaches. Because again, as you mentioned, you know, I always reference to athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes, no matter how good of a player they are, they always have coaches in their corner. They always have someone helping them to be better. And in our business, a lot of times, like you said, people have been in the business 3, 5, 10 years, and they think they know it all. And they stop learning, mm-hmm. and they become closed-minded because now they feel they already know everything they need to know. How important that has that been for you?
Extremely important in the sense that you're doing a business plan, you're sharing your goals, you're having that coach hold you accountable, and truly, thank you, holding you accountable. You know, did you say what you were going to say? Did you do what you said you were going to do? Okay, how can we take you to the next level? And okay, then how can we take you to the next level? You know, development. And so it's extremely important to have a coach. And if you're not, if you don't have a coach, at least take a couple of classes throughout the year.
Absolutely. And you touched on something else too that I want to emphasize quickly in terms of those classes. Because again, we go to a class, like you said, we take a bunch of notes and we have it put away and then we never open that again. So implementing, I think, should be a must. Mm-hmm. And I would even challenge you guys to do one thing. Like if for every class or every training you take, you can take one thing and go back and implement it, I guarantee you, you'll start seeing other results will be completely different.
Absolutely.
One thing, you know. And that's something, again, I learned from one coach. Yeah. He goes, people already know a lot of times what they should be doing, but they need to be reminded of.
Yes, yes.
Because we know.
Yes.
As professionals, okay, this is what I should be doing. Am I doing enough of that?
Yes.
And sometimes it's not. So what are you?
Or you get complacent.
Yeah, again, and that comes with being comfortable with just having what you have. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong. Again, if you're comfortable living the lifestyle you have and it's all you want,
mm-hmm.
by all means, you're good there, right?
Absolutely.
But if you do want to make a difference, or even like in this case for ourselves, make a difference on our kids, in our community, like we need to continue with this.
Absolutely.
We need to continue to impact other people's lives. Mm-hmm. We need to continue educating our realtors. You know, there are times where I feel like we as lenders become coaches for our realtors.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Share with us a little bit about that. I know you and I share the same philosophy on that.
Especially, you know, whether it's a seasoned realtor or a new real estate agent, we like to meet with you and create a business plan. And how can we be of service? How can we help you achieve your goals? So it's beautiful when we sit down with our business partners and we create a business plan and we go back and revisit that plan every quarter and establish that relationship, because our goal here is to establish relationships with our business partners, with our clients, with new agents that are in the field, you know, getting a real estate license.
So what is the one thing you do when you sit down with an agent? So let's say I'm a new agent. What will you tell me?
What made you get into real estate?
Love it. And that's something that I think a lot of, even realtors sometimes, they get in for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely.
And we heard so many stories about getting to really go deep and said, okay, what am I doing this for? Because if you're doing it for the money, obviously, you know, leave.
Yeah.
Leave. Why? Because in this business, you're going to face a lot of challenges. And if the money is the only reason you're doing it, you're going to get burned out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Again, if you're in the business of helping,
and serving,
contributing, serving our community, you know, and just being that person that can make a difference in someone's life, I mean, that is what we do.
Absolutely. It's so rewarding. So rewarding when we meet with, you know, families that didn't even think they could own a home, and to see them get the keys to their first home.
I cry sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
I cry sometimes and I said, wow.
Or getting, you know, sitting down with a family that has gone to 2 to 3 lenders. I just closed an ITIN loan. And I was the third lender.
I was going to say, you were the third, right?
Lender, and he just was so done, so tired. He was really tired. And so I spoke to the listing agent and to the buyer's agent. I said, look, his file is a clean file. We could get it done. I just need you to give us time because I am the third lender. So
exactly.
And when I told him, you know, we have final loan approval. You'll be signing loan docs tomorrow. He cried. He said he's, you know, waiting 13 years for this
miracle
this
to happen.
Miracle. And I cried on the phone with him. It's just, you know, beautiful and rewarding to be able to serve our community and bring that dream into fruition.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. I think that was one of the most rewarding stories I heard recently of that gentleman being the third lender that finally not only took a chance to review his stuff, but we're able to get the job done, which is closing and giving him the opportunity to own his house. So thank you.
And, you know, we I say that we're very different from other lenders in the sense that I just met with the family 3 weeks because we're now in escrow. And they went to another loan officer. They said, well, you guys are not ready. It'll be probably a year. And so this real estate agent said, you know, Lisa, this family came to me with another lender, and unfortunately this lender turned them away. Can you just take a look at their file, their scenario? And so they were here. I met them for the first time last week because we're in escrow right now. And we were able, so the wife has a low FICO score. He's 746 FICO. Self-employed. We're using 2 years tax returns. We took her off the loan and we just kept him on the loan and got him pre-approved immediately. And he said, no, I can't believe this. And I said, yeah, you have beautiful credit.
Your income is there.
You have $19,000 saved. Your income is there. I don't know why they turned you guys away. So when I met him last week, it's so beautiful because they're such a young couple. And to see their ambition and she said something to me. And, oh, she said, you know, I'm going to be the first one to own a home. My grandma, my grandparents haven't owned a home. My parents haven't owned a home. And for her to become a homeowner, that's changing
the history.
The trajectory of their lifeline, you know. So their family line. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you for sharing. Because, again, for our business, I think that's the most rewarding part. When we get to hear the stories, when we get to be part of that story,
it
just fulfills my heart. It makes me cry, it makes me laugh sometimes. But again, our business has so many beautiful parts. Obviously, there are times we're pulling our hair out too because there's some stuff that some of our clients do they're not supposed to, but we're like, okay, let's see how we're gonna fix this today, right? So, Lisa, to close this today, I really want to give you just the space to share with our audience. What is the one thing or two or three that you think is important that they know about you that will help or motivate them to go out and pursue their dreams? What is the one, two, three things, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, but what do you think will impact them or you can share with them that they can make them go out and pursue their dreams?
I would say one, don't let your past define who you are. You know, whatever you went through in the past, whatever experiences, live with a life of gratitude. See where you're at today and see that there's so much possibility in the future. So give yourself that opportunity. So definitely don't let your past define your future, your present and your future. And again, you know, I'm a woman of faith, and I definitely invite you guys to take a leap of faith and have that relationship with our Heavenly Father because He's such an awesome Father, and He will guide you.
Beautiful.
But other than that, you know, put God first in everything you do. Don't let other people define you. Don't let your past define you, and there's so much possibility out there. So much possibility, and you have so much potential. You just have to believe it.
Yes, believe that you can, and then things will start showing up for you. I think the biggest thing is believing in yourself. And a lot of us don't have that growing up. Mm-hmm. Some of us, I've been told so many times, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And we start believing that. And then sometimes we get the opportunity to see a potential. And then we hesitate because we don't believe that we deserve it. We don't believe that we can accomplish it. And we put all those guards up. We're like, no, it's going to be hard. So believe in yourself. You got what it takes.
Absolutely.
The opportunities are out there. You just need to go in and take advantage of them. A lot of times they said an opportunity is never lost. It's just passed on to someone else who's ready to take advantage. So I will invite you to watch the whole episode. It was beautiful to share. It was beautiful to just dive into some of the areas that, again, I knew about it, but they didn't. So thank you so much, Lisa, for being here today. I enjoy having you on today, so I know we'll probably do another one in Spanish.
Thank you, Berta. I love you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you.
It's an honor.
See you guys on the next one.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Level Up Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Until next time, we hope you level up.